Hey, this is Deidre Gaskin, founder and senior publicist of Mailey Media, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 90, entitled Building Brands for People to Remember. Yeah, sorry about that, people. It's like I'm coming off of a four-day celebration with my lovely wife. And, you know, happily, I drank a little bit, and therefore, my voice may not be where it needs to be. But we're going to get through this because we have a very special guest on our program today. And I have to share with you guys the whole backstory about our featured guest. She's not only from my home state, but she is someone that I have a lot of respect for. She's a minority woman-owned business. She's a speaker. She's a publicist. She's a business owner. I mean, before I get too far down the track, these are just some of the highlights of her accolades that I'll talk about a little bit later on. But since we're going to be focusing on building brands for people to remember, the significance of that contribution and that statement really is the true measure of our success will be in the number of people that we touch and transform by our success. And a lot of people are probably going, Greg, what are you really talking about here? Well, let's think about that. In the context of building a brand, it's like a reputation. It's like a reputation for you as an individual. It's like a reputation for your clothing lines, for your perfume, for whatever you're putting out there into the world. You have the ability to earn that reputation by trying to do things hard or trying to do things well. And that pretty much was a quote I took from one of his significant founders himself, Mr. Amazon, Jeff Bezos. And so, as we know, these elements of building a brand basically falls into how you influence and the way you look online and offline, how you hold yourself, how you act in the daily establishment, and refining the image of reputation that people gather, collect, and hold in their mind about you and your brand. And so as I kind of segue into introducing our featured guest, and she's probably going to be like, oh my God, I really don't even know what to expect now after what he just said, because I really wasn't thinking about all those things, even though I'm in PR. I know she's giving me a big shout out right now. I can feel the love. I can feel the smile coming across. And so it is so breathtaking for me to introduce her, and I'm going to try to give her the best possible introduction that I can. Our featured guest today is a God-fearing servant, award-winning publicist, and a business owner, just like I said earlier. She is known by some of the former athletes to be one of the best publicists in the city, and she has continued to make an impact in her industry. Now, when we talk about her industry, I'm going to have to say that some of the people that she's rubbed elbows with, some of the people that she's hugged, some of the people I've seen her in photos with, I tell you, it is really spectacular and phenomenal. As an owner of lifestyle and sports public relation firm, Mailing Media, and the creator of It's Just PR, she has a passion for exposing the unexposed and branding the unknown. Hence, building brands for people. She received her undergraduate degree from GSU, Georgia State University. She holds two bachelors in the Institute of Journalism, concentrated in public relations and film and video. In addition to receiving her bachelor's, she also obtained her master's in sports management from Lynn University. She's also the recipient of the Apex Society Power Under 30 and nominated by the ACHI Magazine for Entrepreneur of the Year, and the Hottest Publicist in Atlanta Award. Now, when you start talking about the drum roll of my friend here and all the great things that she's done, she's worked with famous athletes that are associated with the WNBA. She's worked on BET's Project Runway. She's been associated with Shears of Genius Connect Collection, 702, Exclusive Vodka, Hewlett-Packard, American Basketball Association, Business Conferences, MingleCon, TV One, Real Housewives of Atlanta, and other notable brands. Now, the one quote that she lives by, which basically kind of goes back to what we're talking about today, is that she states, "Failure will never overtake me, but my determination to succeed is strong enough." And so building brands for people to remember takes a lot of determination, takes a lot of resiliency, takes a lot of energy and pride to put your name out there and to infuse your vision into someone else. She's a proud believer. She's a devoted wife. Now, the one question I have here is, it says fur mom. So I'm assuming that we're talking that she has a dog. She's a mom of a dog. Not only is she a servant of others, but she enjoys spending time with her family, taking care of herself, and regrouping for whatever is next. And so, like I stated earlier, she's been a recipient of some of the greatest awards. She's been a creator of a PR platform and a company. She's been seen and notable in several magazines. And without further ado, the last contribution, which I saved to the very end, is she's a member of Forbes The Cultural. And so I would like to take just a brief moment and introduce Miss Deidre Gaskins to the program. How are you doing, Deidre? What's up?
Hey, how are you? That was quite an introduction.
Oh, well, you know, I try to do my best. You know, I try to do my best. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get everybody's accolades and things that they've done to really put them on the pedestal out there. And I know you understand that because that's a part of your job. I mean, that's a part of your mantra, your vision with Mailing Media and building brands for people to remember. I mean, that's a tall order.
Yeah. It's definitely, people think that my job is easy, but no, there's definitely a lot of prayer
to do what I do. Absolutely. So before we get into the questions, I want to kind of just segue just a little bit, just to kind of share something that I think is, I found it to be something that I do a lot, you know, and people go, "Well, Greg, we already know you're kind of quirky." So just so that everybody's aware, and I know everybody that's listened to our, you know, 89 episodes prior to this, they know that I'm an entrepreneur. They know I own other companies. But in the context of how Deidre and I met, so Deidre and I met through my other business partner through TrueSpot, and basically we were looking to collaborate with Deidre to do some PR work. Lo and behold, we didn't quite move forward because we was like, hey, you know, we got to have the funding, so forth and so on, to be able to move things forward. And so we kind of put that on hold a little bit. But I went back on the Deidre's website, and I spent time understanding a little bit more about her, read about her, LinkedIn, all these different articles and everything. And what I realized is that someone else had developed her website, which was called Dime Diva Branding, which, you know, that episode's going to be released too at some point in time. So stay tuned for that. But anyway, putting two and two together, as Deidre's website was developed by Dime Diva Branding, which we did a podcast episode with Dime Diva Branding, and that went extremely well, I decided to reach back out to Deidre and say, "Hey, remember me? Remember the guy from TrueSpot?" So I hope the audience now, they're aware of how this kind of all comes together, because my mind works in so many different crazy ways. But as we jump into the first question, Deidre, what does it mean to build brands for people to remember?
That basically means that you are leaving a legacy. You're not just opening up shop just to say that you're a business owner. There's a difference between having a business and building a brand. Nike, McDonald's, Foot Locker, these are all brands. you know their story, you know where they started, you know the consistency, you know their brand messages. So when I say I'm building brands for people to remember, it goes beyond social media. It goes beyond your website. I'm building brands to where when you're not in the room, people are still talking about you. That's what I mean by building brands for people to remember. 20, 30 years from now, they remember you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we thank you for providing that that definition. You know, when you mention legacy, a lot of things come to mind when, you know, I hear that word, because sometimes when we see certain cultures and aspects of how they live their life and how they live their life in the moment, they're not necessarily thinking about that legacy. So when you take on a new client that maybe hasn't sat down and structured themselves in a way where they consider themselves building a brand for people to remember, or as you've said it so eloquently, establishing a legacy, how do you get them into the right mind space to say, this is not a sprint, this is a marathon?
Yeah, I think it's all about education, especially when it comes to PR. People think that, oh, since you hired a publicist, I'm going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated tomorrow. Nope, that's not how it works. So it's just mainly for me. I try to educate my potential clients as well as my current clients on the process. And I'm very, very honest with them. You can spend thousands of dollars on ads, but the ads, they really are like hit and miss. I use the example of driving down the street. How many billboards do you actually remember versus reading a story in a magazine? So that's kind of what sets the difference between a publicist and an advertiser. So we are the ones that's going to tell your story, but you have to make sure you have a story. Now that I can't create for you, but I can. What I can do is tell it for you, meaning getting your story in the press and to your target audience. But you have to have that. I think just in entrepreneurship and business, regardless, you have to have that mindset of being willing to invest and take risks and making sure that you know that nothing happens overnight. I think that's a mindset that comes with developing yourself as an entrepreneur. Nobody can really teach that. It's that something you just have to be willing to accept.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, in the aspect of starting our little bootstrap podcast, you know, we started this 10 months ago or 11 months ago, almost a year now. Mm-hmm. And in order to get our followership up, you know, and downloads and other various things, you're absolutely right. It doesn't happen overnight. And it really is a mindset change, because when you put things out there and you're targeting and you're focusing in on all of the objectives that you're trying to do well to attract the right people that are going to be committed to you, sometimes that just takes more time than what psychologically you had ingrained in your brain. So I can truly relate to that comment, you know, in a way where I've had to learn that myself, just like I said, in starting, you know, our own little bootstrap podcast. So Deirdre, you've had a lot of successes in working with a lot of different personalities and celebrities and stars. Now, some of these folks have had a lot of fame very early on in life, mm-hmm. and now their careers are kind of in a reboot phase. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going through a transition to where, let's just say you're really in the spotlight for X number of years, and then let's say you faded away, mm-hmm. how does your organization come in and kind of give them a reboot? I mean, do you still focus in on the same things that made them famous, mm-hmm. or is there really a transition into what their new mission and goals are at that point in time to kind of put them in a different frame of light? Because that's like I said, it's a reboot. It's like starting over almost.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, it's a little bit of both. Like, for instance, I work with Cheryl Swoops, and a lot of people know her as being the first player in the WNBA, you know, being the first female to have her own signature shoe, which is the Nike Air Swoops. A lot of people know her, but Cheryl hasn't played ball in over, I don't know how many years. But now with people knowing her as this athlete, we also transition to knowing her as this philanthropist with her nonprofit organization. So in PR, my job is to tell your story, but also being able to strategically come out with a message that's going to resonate with your target audience. Yes, you know her as a basketball player, but let me introduce you to her off the court. So that's why I also have this program called Beyond the Game, where I focus on you as an athlete, but I also focus on what people are saying and how you can still connect with your following after sports. So making sure that you're develop that entrepreneur side while you're playing or after you play, like making sure that the media know what else do you have going on, because I don't know if you play sports, but after sports, real life is going to hit real fast. So you got to have a plan. And that's my job is to basically cultivate that plan for you and letting your target audience know who you are and how it resonates with them. Yeah. So it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly I can relate to what you just stated. You know, I know several of the early 80s Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, back in their heyday, when I used to travel up to Pittsburgh a lot, and a lot of those guys, they were notoriously known for who they were, for the love of the game and for what they did for the city and all the camaraderie because of what they did on the field. But, you know, now when I see those guys and I engage with those guys, I'm engaging with those guys as a B2B, you know, we're they're business owners, you know, they're philanthropists or they're nonprofit executives or whatever the case may be. But it's a different light when you talk with them in the context of them leaving the game and then them seeing where they are in their present life. Because I think a lot of them find that it's somewhat of a shock, you know, not to have that spotlight on them. And I guess that's what I was alluding to earlier on is, you know, the whole fact of, you know, they've built the brand in sports and now they're trying to redefine themselves somewhere else. Sometimes that psychological aspect is a little bit hard to kind of balance out when you feel like you have to have that thirst of attention. You know? So you've built a lot of brands for a lot of famous people, and these things are still notoriety still growing, and they're still maturing as these people still actively engage. So what do you say to someone that is, let's just take an example, they're starting out their little small business or small brand. They are starting to get themselves immersed into social media. They're starting to kind of cast the fishing line out there, as I call it, or cast the net. You know, how do you kind of educate those folks to help them understand that what you do today, you may not see dividends for 5 years or 3 years? How do you go about that?
Well, that goes back to what I said earlier. PR is a marathon. It's not a sprint. I can't remember who said this quote, but everything you do and say is PR. So if you notice now, like some celebrities, they're getting caught under fire because of old tweets that have resurfaced, especially now in this whole Black Lives Matter movement. So you just got to be careful when you're putting yourself out there, because you are the walking brand for your organization, or you're the walking billboard for your organization. So you just have to carry yourself that way. Now, when you're a small business, of course, you're going to start out, you know, on the bottom of the totem pole because you're just starting out. No one knows you. You're still trying to figure out what metrics work. You're trying to still figure out what strategy works and what doesn't work. You're trying to get, you know, lost away from this social media game. And then there's some instances where you don't have the funds to technically hire a publicist. So what we need to do is build a strategy so you can separate yourself from the competition. But I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I think that social media has romanticized being a business owner. It has romanticized, you know, being an entrepreneur. It has romanticized just doing this whole business thing by yourself. Listen, being in business is not instant followers on social media. It's not an instant six-figure check. It's definitely a process. So you have to understand that whatever you're going to do, it's going to take a process. You cannot just throw something out there and expect people to bite it. You have to have strategy. And if you don't know what that strategy is, I would say do your research, start taking these classes, start consulting with somebody if you can't hire them full time. I'm a firm advocate on staying in your lane. I'm a publicist. PR is what I know. It's what I do. I hate design. So I would go into Canva and create a template, or I would hire a graphic designer. I hate numbers. Like I love money, but I hate just dealing with the back end of it. I have an accountant, you know? So I think people need to realize that when you're starting out in business, have a plan, be strategic, and let people know who you are, but what separates you from the noise. I typically work with clients that have a brand story, because just like any other hairline or any other podcast or any other shoe line, what's going to make yours different and why should I buy into you versus the millions that are out there? So I think those are kind of key elements that you need to remember when you're starting out a business, and remember that if you really want a brand, again, I told you the difference between a brand and a business. If you really want a brand, if you really want something that's going to be here 20 to 30 years from now, just like the Nikes and the Amazons and the Microsoft, you have to understand that it is a process. Right now, we're dealing with people with microwavable brands. They're here today and they're probably going tomorrow because they're depending on social media. If you want to build a brand 30 years from now, you have to realize you're a crock pot, not a microwave. A crock pot, you got to season it, you got to marinate it, and it's going to take time for that delicious meal to come. Versus a microwave, you heat it and it's done in 2 minutes, and now you're still hungry. So you have to realize and kind of picture your business like that.
Wow. You know, you just gave me a quote out of all the quotes I think I've ever heard out of the 90 episodes that we've recorded. You have to think of your business as a crock pot or skillet. I mean, that is just that phrase is going to be coined. It will be on a Cut to the Chase t-shirt brand with your name on it and episode 90. I assure you of that. That was just classic. I love that. Absolutely love that.
I think I've said it numerous times, because I think we live in a generation where that instant gratification is like almost like it's so wanted, you know, and nobody really wants to take the time to really build their company. I think Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett, I was listening to them having a conversation, and Jeff Bezos asked Warren Buffett, if you don't know who those people are, they are billionaires. Jeff Bezos asked Warren Buffett, why doesn't anyone follow your investing strategy? It's very, very simple. Warren Buffett responded, nobody wants to get rich slow. And that right there was like a mind opener to me, because it's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I mean, a lot of the key points that you've made throughout our dialogue, they're so on point, particularly as, you know, one, we're seeing a huge transformation in our work society. We're seeing a huge transformation in our cultural and how things are being done. Plus, you mix that into this social uprising and pandemic, and you just have a ticking time bomb that you don't know what's going to come out on the other side. But it's very intriguing to see how, if you're playing chess, you know, how things are being structured and strategized in a way where individuals are trying to hedge their bets. You know, we saw that with, you know, unfortunately with GameStop, you know, but you know, it's the nature of where we are in our society. And it really is a misfortune, because, you know, looking back on some of those household brands, you know, you brought up some of the names of those. And I'm going to take it back even just a little bit further. And it's something that really resonated with me today, because it was so demoralizing and so inhumane that it took this many years for them as a brand to finally get their SHIT out of their, you know what, in order to realize that what they had been casting out there was something that probably should have changed years ago. We're not talking 10 years, we're talking more than 10 years, 30, 40 years. And that is the Aunt Jemima pancake box and syrup. Coca-Cola finally released an article today that basically said, yep, we're going to change that. The logo, the face, the feature, and all those things are changed. And I don't remember exactly the name of it, but I was just like, oh my God, it took that many years for them to finally realize that they needed to do something different. And it was just incredible to me to read that article, because I was scratching my head going, how many more things that we have to go through in life from a brand perspective. I mean, you hear the things that have gone on with McDonald's, you know, and far as how they've stereotyped and discriminated against minorities and so forth. I mean, all of these brands, large name household brands, they're going through this redevelopment, this reboot, because they know they've cast themselves outside of the norm in society, and they haven't been adaptive until present day. And that's saddening, you know, that really, really is saddening.
Yeah. I think that for me, I just think that people just need to understand patience, and even with like the Coca-Cola thing and the Auntie Mama thing, and even like now some parts where I live, like with the Dixie restaurants, like I feel like it has to be to a point where you realize wrong is wrong and right is right. And some of these things have been passed down for generation and generation, and they are just completely, they don't know. And the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So when things have been passed down from generation to generation, I think it's up to us to really decipher, like, hey, do I want to move forward or not? I will say this, though, when it comes to these companies and they're changing the names and all this stuff, are you doing it because you really care, or are you doing it because you really want us to keep spending our dollar? So that's where kind of like, that's where my mind is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So Deidre, we're almost out of time, and you know, this has been, we're going to have to do another podcast, man.
Yes. I tell you,
this was fun. So as we're kind of wrapping up, you know, I want to basically ask, you know, what are some takeaways that, you know, whether it's a personal brand, whether it's a small business, whether it's a, you know, a company that's been operating, that's trying to go through maybe a reboot of their branding. What are some of the things that, from your perspective and your professional expertise, that you could share with them to help enlighten the overall branding and PR awareness of their individual brand?
I definitely want to say have a plan and don't depend on a social media to run your business. Everybody thought that MySpace was the best thing smoking, Vine and all these things. But now look at these outlets. And all I'm going to say is there's going to be more outlets. There's going to be more apps that we're going to download. But I will say that you have to be able to brand yourself outside of an app, making sure that you have your digital online presence intact, making sure that you're getting featured in the press, because no matter what happens, what goes, the media is going to always be there. The media is going to always be that source of news that we need. So hiring a publicist and getting your brand out there is definitely a key step I would take, but just don't be foolish and dependent on an app to run your business. I can't tell you how many times I've had people, you know, come back and like, oh, I lost all my followers, my page got hacked, I don't know what to do. It's because they never had strategy, you know. So I would definitely say look to brand yourself beyond social media, as well as have a plan, have a marketing plan, have a PR plan, have a sales plan. And branding is more than just pretty logos and a nice website. It's what people are saying when you're not in the room. It's what people are saying before you get there. So just look at it from that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Certainly great insight. Great insight. And as we wrap up here, just to kind of piggyback on what you've just stated, one of the final quotes I have here states, brand is just a perception, and perception will match reality over time. And that's a quote that I captured from Mr. Elon Musk.
Wow. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Deidre, this has been an honor, a delight, and a joy. I certainly hope that we can get you back, you know, maybe for season 5 or season 6.
I mean, I would love to. We're
cranking out so many episodes. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm just a podcasting machine over here.
No, I love it. I love the conversations. I think they're needed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, certainly, again, this has been a joy for us. And to our listeners, this has been episode 90. Definitely, folks, stay tuned for the release of this one. And building brands for people to remember. Now, Deidre left a lot of nuggets in this podcast, and I'm telling you, if you're getting ready to build a brand, you might want to listen to this one all the way through.
Yes.
All the way through. All right, everyone. Thank you very much, Deirdre. Thank you again. And God bless. And to everyone out there, please be safe and show compassion and empathy towards not only yourselves and your family, but unto others. This is Gregory Proctor with Cut to the Chase, episode 90, Building Brands for People to Remember. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you and catch you on the next episode.